Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 18th day of December, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, you have been warned. This will be a solo rant, though we will open it up for calls later on. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambeth. Callers, again, will be welcome. We do ask that you mind your P's and Q's as far as language, and also be considerate of any other callers that might be on with us. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted as they join the call until such time as I unmute them. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and I am putting lots and lots of information up there. Now, some of the really, really hot stuff I will send out to my email list. However, there is so much coming in now, I can't do that very often because I'll just jam up your inbox and most people just start deleting things and don't look at it anyway. So please take some time once or twice a day and just bookmark my page and go to the Daily Mail page, if nothing else, just a couple times in the latter part of the day and check for the latest news items. I'm also updating the guns and ammo section. Just today I added some stuff there. Also to the news and more, which has a lot of reference material and stuff that's good, more than just daily type news items. There are references for education about the identity message and what's going on. And I update the recommended reading page frequently as well. It seems like book after book after book is falling into my lap. Many of them are telling very important information about what's going on today and explaining a lot of things. For instance, the young man or woman who sent me the information on the Corbett report has turned into an avalanche of awakening by many people, including myself. Because I knew the scriptures call these antichrists that lord over us devils, Edom, Esau, Sadducees and Pharisees, lots of names for them, the cabal, deep state, lots of them. But the Bible tells us, of course, that they're demonic, but we also have backing in the world of psychiatry and psychology, which, again, is a Jewish invention, but we have a lot of our people that actually got into that. And what's interesting is they're the ones that put the pieces of the puzzle together. It wasn't people like Freud or other Jews. It was our people who determined the attributes of a psychopath. And psychopathy is exactly what is being practiced by the leaders of this cacistocracy that we find ourselves surrounded in and we're sinking in. It's a quagmire. It's like quicksand, and we're sinking fast. Everything that's white, everything that is Christian, everything that is a fundamental institution that was founded with this country and helped make it great is being destroyed. Unabashedly so by these creatures, okay? These cretins, I call them. So the awakening is happening very, very quickly, and these kinds of materials, books, documents, white papers, etc., give us credibility even beyond the words of the Anointed One, the Arian Christ, and beyond the scriptures as a whole. Because a lot of people are still having trouble properly interpreting Scripture. They just don't seem to get it. It wasn't written in English. Okay, for instance, the word Jew is a misnomer. That's an invented word. It didn't exist until the 1700s. Okay? And so it's amazing how many people just can't get something as simple as that. You're using a term of division and delusion. It's a diversion to get you off the track, to think of these people as something that they are not. They are not of us. And their psychopathy, their demented psychotic behavior, is certainly a very telling way to judge them by their fruits, okay? Did not Messiah tell us to do that? Judge them by their fruits. Don't listen to their words. Don't listen to their speeches. Don't listen to them standing in front of you claiming what smart people they are or mentioning their degrees, or like that woman congressman in Michigan, "Well, I'm a former CIA officer and I've got a degree." Well, you're also a lying Jew. And she got booed by the people in Michigan. She got booed to the point she couldn't finish her speech. I also heard, I believe it was Shipp, was booed when he tried to give an address here within the last couple of days. Same thing. People stand there and said, "You're a liar." Yeah, he is a liar. Of course he is. He's a psychopath. Lying is a main principle of psychopathy. And exactly what Scripture says. When they speak a lie, they speak their own language. These people are psychotic. They have no conscience. What we need to wake up. And thanks be to the Father, many of our people are starting to wake up, especially our young warriors. That's the people we really, really need to address. The young warriors. And by young, I mean anything below the age of 55. I'm over that, but I think I could still sling a rifle pretty good. I think I could keep up with the guys at least for a while. But I can't perform like a 20-year-old, obviously. But I still can do a lot more than most people my age. And so for those of us that have stayed in shape, we're here to fight. I'm going to tell you, that's what we're here for. Fight. The good fight. All right? As the meme that went around about the Spartan soldier from ancient Greece, and he had his helmet and his greaves and his breastplate, his shield, his sword, his spear, and he's getting ready to go battle an enemy. And like he says in the meme, "I'm not going out to face my enemy because I hate them." No, that's really not it. I don't hate these psychotic psychopaths. I hate what they do. And like the Spartan, I don't go out to fight them because I hate them. I go out to fight them because I love those that are behind me, the people I care about, the people I want to protect, my family. And that goes to my extended family as well, of my race. It's under attack right now, like never, ever before. The Bolshevik Jew has said for quite some time, and gotten away with it somehow, that their end goal is the elimination of the white race. Now, why would they be that way? Well, maybe it's because they've been that way since Genesis. If you actually had real preachers telling you the truth of the Scriptures, they would tell you that these people behave this way, and they have for almost 7,000 years since Genesis. Go to chapter 3, verse 15, and you will find that there's enmity between the serpent and his seed and the seed of the woman. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. Seed. Sperma in the Greek language, which, yep, you're right, that's where we get the word sperm. Okay, it is the seed of our people. And these diabolical creatures are doing everything they can to destroy our kind. Now, you might ask, why are they focusing on us? Well, again, Genesis tells you why. Because we are the people Yahweh put here to keep law and order. And they are anti-Christ. They are anti-Yahweh. They hate Yahweh's law. Now, you look at all of the criminality that's going on, things that are pandering to the vices of flesh, and almost every one of them is a Jewish enterprise. Look at the people that headed up the main pornographic magazines, Larry Flint, Howard Hughes, etc. Okay, they're all Jews. All of them are Jews. Making money what? Pandering our women. And now we know that they are also into the pedophilia and much, much worse. It's not a secret. Who pandered in selling of flesh millennia ago? Jewish traders from the Middle East going down into Africa, buying up the blacks that had lost wars, and they were going to be slaves one way or the other, either slaves to other blacks or slaves to the Arabs and Jews that were buying them. And then they found out the Aryans were dumb enough to buy slaves as well. Some Aryans, not all. But the trade itself, and it's still going on to this day, that's the funny part. They're wanting us to feel guilty about all this, but the slave trade is going on right now. It has been, unabated, between Arabs and Jews, and even blacks. They enslave other blacks to this day. And they murder each other. Look at Sierra Leone a few years ago. 2 million black people died at the hands of the rebels in Sierra Leone, killing their own. 2 million innocent black people died. Not a word in your Jewish-controlled press about Sierra Leone. Okay, that's just one case. We could go naming case after case after case. But there is an awakening going on right now, I'm telling you. Like I've never, ever, ever seen. I am putting out information to all kinds of groups of people. Some of them are pretty new, like I've never done before, and I'm expecting to hear you anti-Semite or you're a white supremacist. I'm not hearing that. Often I'm getting return mail that says, thank you, keep it coming, passing it on to others, and that I'm having these same people send me things that reinforce. And again, how Yahweh works, I ordered that DVD about Germany, and the guy sent the extra DVDs along with it to me, and one of them was this Corbett report talking about our leaders being psychopaths. So that led to a whole chain of events just for me. I can imagine how many other people are waking up. So the scripture is true when it says that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and he is. All kinds of people are waking up. And they're also wanting information about identity. They're wanting information about their true history. Robert Seffer, who's an archaeologist, just put out a video that is a dynamite video, showing how all of the ancient civilizations were Aryan. He goes into ancient China, was ruled by Aryans. The ancient kingdoms of South America, by Aryans. The ancient kingdoms in Central America, Aryans. Okay? That doesn't mean that that's who's there now, just like in China. China's ruled by what we call Chinese, the Qin or Chinese. But the ancient area of China was ruled by Aryans. Ancient Egypt was ruled by Aryans. The ancient Persians, the Medes and Persians, were Aryans. the ancient India, or the land of India that we have today, up in the Punjab area, etc., or Gandhari, where Buddha was at one time. And guess what? Buddha was an Aryan, and what he taught was scripture. He taught the principles taught in the Old Testament. And they treated him like he was a god. He didn't call himself a god. He just was a monk, no different than any other teacher of Yahweh's word. And he was held in high regard because Yahweh's word brings peace and prosperity wherever it goes. So those that listened to Buddha were blessed. Doesn't it say those that bless Abraham shall be blessed? Well, if you listen to one of us and you implement Yahweh's law, you will be blessed. It doesn't matter who you are. And so Buddha became a god. Of course, he didn't look anything at all like the effigies of him today. He was an Aryan. Probably looked a lot like Alexander the Great. Same thing with Confucius. Okay, he wasn't Chinese. He was an Aryan. So people need to wake the hell up. But it's happening. We have it happening. Just before airtime, I was watching an excellent video put up by the Repentant Yankee, who's a young veteran. A lot of common sense, and he's basically telling us that this thing could get kicked off in January when there's going to be a huge Second Amendment rally in Virginia. This is the exact kind of thing that the cabal likes to use to stage an event. So everybody has to be on high alert at that time. But the point of it is there are thousands of civilians, law enforcement, military veterans that are already pledging to join the militia in Virginia. And some of them are coming from other states to join the militia if this thing goes hot. Now, one of the critical things that the Repentant Yankee and anybody with any common sense will tell you is right now, if you have ignored all of our calls to make preparations for what people refer to as shit hit the fan scenarios. I've been talking about this for nearly 20 years. Okay, was I a little ahead of schedule? Maybe. It never hurts to be prepared. Where I grew up in the Amish country of Pennsylvania, every farmhouse had a stocked pantry. That's all we're saying. It's the same idea. The Amish, being very germanic and commonsensical, we grew up with the notion that you never know when the power will go out. You got to remember, I was raised in the 50s and 60s. Okay, there were still areas in rural places that I grew up where there was no electricity yet. There were plenty of places with no indoor plumbing or indoor toilets. Plenty. In fact, the lady that babysat us did not have a bathroom. Or I should say she had a bathroom, but there was no inside toilet. There was a place to take a bath, if you want to call it that. You had to go down and heat the water up and carry it up and pour it into the tub. That's how we bathed. She had a pot-bellied stove in the living room. And she had an outhouse just down the pathway from the front porch. Okay, that's where I grew up. So all I'm telling you is what used to be common sense. A well-stocked pantry. What's that mean? That means go get some victuals, get some food that you can keep on ice or keep in barrels or keep around so that you won't starve if there's a disruption, because there could be a disruption in the very near future. So you want to be able, as my military advisors have told me, you want to be able to sit still. It's critical. Again, I'm telling you what military men have told me, and I've seen it myself. It makes perfect sense. You want to be able, if trouble happens, to sit tight right where you are for at least 6 months. At least. if you're destitute and you don't have much resources to get stuff, then please, by God, get enough stuff that you can sit still for 3 months. That's the bare minimum, 3 months. I'm going to tell you another thing. Here's one of the side benefits to doing that. It's called peace of mind. And the fact that you're not going to panic like all these other morons out here that don't have a clue what the hell's going on in this world. They have plenty of opportunity. I don't feel sorry for any of them now. I really don't. There is so much information available, whether they listen to this show or not. There's so much out there warning about this kind of thing coming. There is no mercy and there is no empathy for willfully ignorant people. Okay? Messiah didn't have much empathy for them, and I sure as hell don't either. Okay? Willful ignorance. I'll use the words of Joe Cortina, the former Special Forces commander in Clearwater, Florida. I interviewed him several times. As he said on those interviews, willful ignorance should be a capital crime. Well, in a way it will be, because willful ignorance is going to lead to possible death by starvation or thirst or violence. Okay, so in a way it is a capital crime because you're going to suffer. Willful ignorance leads to suffering. Whether you're talking about ignorance of our Father's word or ignorance about the conditions in the environment around you, doesn't matter. Willful ignorance will lead to your death, and shamefully it will lead to the deaths of the people you're responsible for. And I'm speaking mostly to you men, okay? It's the man's job to protect and care for his household. That's our job, guys, all right? Don't put it on the women. Don't blame them. I don't care if she's supporting you the way she should or not. That's not the point. The point is you're responsible for it. If you've got a woman in your midst that's not holding up her own, get rid of her. Okay? These are serious times. You can't have a ball and chain around your neck. You can't have a bitch that isn't going to listen to your commands. You're not going to survive. And that's why I'm telling you that. Okay, it may sound good, might look good in movies, might read well in a romance novel, but we're talking reality now. And if the woman is not going to support you in every endeavor that you have as the man of the house to bring the household through what's about ready to happen, well, then you need to get rid of her. Same thing with your children, especially your older children, teenagers. If they're rebellious, I think about getting rid of them, and I don't mean anything like killing them. I mean, that's kind of silly. But you need to get them out of your household. You need to separate them from your plans because they will take you down. Remember what the scripture says. Your worst enemies will come from your own household. It's just like this ministry. My worst enemies have been my own people. Not Jews, not blacks, not Hispanics, not Orientals, no. In 20 years of broadcasting, almost every adversary I've had to deal with was one of my own family, my own race, because they're just brainwashed morons. Hey, facts are facts, and we deal with facts on this program. If you want to have your ears tickled, you need to tune in to John Hagee or Kenneth Copeland or Robert Schuller or Osteen or that whole list of prostitutes that will be more than happy to make you feel really good about yourself lying to you as they're leading you to the slaughter. Go ahead. I don't care. I personally am not going to miss you one bit. I would rather than worry about these pew setters out there, the guys like the repentant Yankee, the guys like Brian with high impact vlogs, okay? They're young men that I admire. They have courage. They have courage. They're speaking out. They're telling people to get ready, and they themselves are getting ready. Guys like James Wesley Rawls, Jamie Walden, who wrote the book Omega Dynamics, another young, brave soldier who's trying to warn people and prepare them for what's coming, and the young men of Virginia that are supporting that good sheriff, and praise Yahweh for that sheriff and all the other sheriffs out there that know their civic duty to the people that elected them, but also their duty to honesty and righteousness. That's even more important. Their duty to Almighty God as men, and pray that they are men, not women. Have mercy on us, the women sheriffs. Sorry, women, it's not your job, okay? So the righteous men who know their duty and the militia men that support them and protect them, okay? If the sheriff is willing to do his job, then men of the militia must protect him. I hope they're listening. You guys are the last line of defense of this nation, the militia, because nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else. And the enemy knows that. That's why they're doing everything to demean the militia. The whole purpose for Oklahoma City was to drive the militia underground. Did you know that? Okay. General Ben Parton, who was on this program several times in our interviews, we talked about that fact. If you remember, what was it they found in Timothy McVeigh's car? Red Beckman's book, Why the Militia. I have a copy of that book. I carried it in the glove box of my pickup truck. Why the Militia? Okay, so there was the false flag to get what they wanted, which was a soundbite to equate people who know about the militia with Timothy McVeigh, who was just a front, by the way. He didn't do Oklahoma City. That was an inside job. Cody Snodgrass, who was a CIA contractor, he has exposed that tremendously. Okay, he was also been a guest on this program and talked about that. Following the Light is the book he wrote about it. If you haven't got a copy, get a copy. Okay, so the information's out there. This is how the enemy works. They want to convince you of falsehoods. In fact, we should read a few of the quotes here before we get into the rest of this, because they're appropriate. They're very appropriate. John chapter 14, Yeshua told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, Emmanuel, of course, he came and he sacrificed himself to fulfill the law. You better believe you better go through him. It's still one God, though, Yahweh. He just, in one part, he manifested flesh, but it's still the Father. He's telling you, you'd better come through me. And how do you do that? What did Yeshua say in the flesh? If you love me, obey my commandments. That's Yahweh talking to you. If you love me, obey my commandments. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. If you love me, obey my commandments. And if you want to think of it this way, fathers, if you're a father like I am, what do you think of your children? If they love you, don't they follow your rules of the house? How can you say you love the father, whether it's a wife or a child? How can you say you love him if you don't obey him? You don't love him. You don't respect him. At least have the decency to leave. But if you're going to stick around and call him dad or father or husband, then obey him. He is the commander of your battleship. He is the captain of the ship. Do you think in the Navy, every sailor on board that battleship thinks the commander is a great guy? Do you think every single one of them agrees with everything the commander says from the bridge? No, I'm here to tell you they don't. But they will listen to him. When he gives an order, they obey it. It's been that way from time immemorial, whether it's an army, a navy, or whatever. You trust the commander's decision in the heat of battle. You don't have time to analyze it. And we're getting close to shove-off time here. Men of the militia, I hope you've picked good commanders. The people of Jacob Israel, the white race, I hope you've picked good shepherds, because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. That's why I'm telling you, you've been warned. We are in the Malachi chapter 4 time zone, whether you know it or not. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters, psychopaths, who rule them with lies, mainstream media. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. Is that a pretty good synopsis of where we are? Yeah. And then I had a fellow email me this response to something I had sent out. He says, Dan, that was a good one. I will forward it to others. As one person put it, we have our backs to the wall now. The Zionists are ready to tear this nation apart. And then he put this, and I want you to pay attention, especially you men. Courage, honor, and valor, as the Romans used to say. This came from a buddy of mine that has a home here in Florida, but he also spends half of his year back in his native Greece. So he's very aware of the Roman attitudes from the day of the Roman legions. We hear a lot of bad, there were a lot of bad things about Rome, but there was also a lot of good things. Okay, at one time Rome operated as a republic. And when the Roman soldiers went into many areas, they were cheered because they brought law and order when it was just a free-for-all before they showed up and built forts. Now, like so many things, corrupt people take advantage of that eventually, and it got kind of ugly. But in the beginning, they kept it right. And see, that's where Kurt Doolittle and John Mark have it right. We need to figure this thing out so we don't have to keep repeating this, okay? The Israelites keep repeating the same cycle. And you guys have seen it many, many times. We go from despair not to getting our act together, becoming more righteous. We get to be more prosperous. We get to go become affluent. Then we get apathetic and lethargic. And then we fall right back into ruin again because we become corrupt. We need to stop that idiotic cycle. And the reason we get into that cycle is because we forget what the Parthians did, the ancient Irish did, and many of our other cultures through antiquity. They elected kings who were the most righteous of their people. That's not really hard to figure out, okay? If you're paying attention and you listen to people and you judge them by their fruits, you can tell who your righteous people are. It's not that hard. And again, you always have a system, as the Parthians did, and you can read it in Stephen Collins' book. You always have a system that will depose the monarch should he decide to stop being righteous and lead according to Scripture. Okay, a monarch is not a dictator for life. That's a whole different form of government. That's not biblical. Monarchs were elected just like a sheriff, and when they became corrupt, they were deposed, and a new sheriff or monarch is elected. You have to have that system. If you don't, it turns into a malevolent dictatorship instead of a beneficial monarchy. Christ is the epitome of a beneficial monarch. Even your scholars will tell you that the most efficient form of government is a beneficial monarchy. Okay? That's the goal. That's the goal. How do we get into a beneficial monarchy and stay there? Because a monarch, just as Christ himself, when he rules from his throne with a scepter of iron, is not going to tolerate the insanity that we are swimming in today. He will end it overnight. Why can't people get this in their heads? We're sitting here as if we need Washington to fix the problem when Washington caused the problem. We seem to think the bankers are going to somehow come through and save the day. What bankers created this mess? The educational system helped create this mess. The mainstream media is part of this mess. Mainstream medicine is part of this mess. Mainstream corporations are part of this mess. Folks, they're not going to fix it. That's why I'm addressing the young warriors out there. We have it within our power to fix this mess. Because no matter what they say, they can't rule over us if we refuse to be ruled over. Oh, they've formed all kinds of weapons, but what does the scripture say? All those weapons formed against us will what? Be of no avail. They forget who we work for. The King of Kings. Thomas Jefferson told us, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. Hallelujah for that. Romans 13 says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from Yahweh. And those who exist are ordained by Elohim God. Okay, that right there tells you that Romans does not condone obedience to an ungodly government. Quite the opposite. You're judged for that because you should be in government's face. If you're obeying an ungodly government, you are complicit. In God's courtroom, you will be found as an accomplice to the abortionist, to the military that's killing innocent people halfway around the world in these foreign wars so that corporations can steal other people's resources and subjugate them. You are an accomplice. George Washington told us that government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire, a troublesome servant and a fearful master, never for a moment let it be left to irresponsible action. In other words, George is telling us never should it be left to the cacistocracy of psychopaths like we have today. Okay? There's a 25-cent word that you can slip in there. Thomas Jefferson told us the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second, which is the government, down with the chains of the Constitution. Now notice, Jefferson didn't say chain you and me down. Personally, I don't give a damn about the Constitution. Okay, that's for my public servants. That's the contract for them. My rights exist whether that piece of paper does or not. That's where they have deceived us, okay? So chain down the government with the Constitution so that the second, meaning the government, will not become the legalized version of the first, which is criminals. Well, folks, you're living in a cacistocracy. Look it up in the dictionary, K-A-K-I-S, cacistocracy. Look it up. Comes from the Greek language. It means government by the worst elements of your society. John Stuart Mill said, a person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself. In other words, you're a coward. And you're gonna owe your existence to the efforts of braver men than yourself. But you're going to have to live with your cowardice. You know, that's one of my nightly prayers, that Father Yahweh, give me courage. Whatever he gives me to do, that I will face it with courage, no matter what it is, no matter what the results are. That's what General Stonewall Jackson told us during the War of Northern Aggression. Duty is ours, but consequences belong to God. Our job, men, is to do our duty, to have honor and courage and valor, to do our duty and not worry about consequences. Why are we afraid? If we're doing what's right, why are we afraid of anything? Especially death. I got news for you. As Laura Ferrez Wilson said in her show one night, hey, folks, I got news for you. There's none of us going to get out of this alive. Think about that. None of us are going to get out of this alive. Amen to that. Here's a good quote from Pope Clement VIII in 1592, so that was 427 years ago. All the world suffers from the usury of the Jews. Of course, back then they spelled it E-W-E-S, use. Their monopolies and deceit. They have brought many unfortunate peoples into a state of poverty, especially farmers, working class people, and the very poor. Yeah, it wasn't but a 300 years or so later when the Bolsheviks brought their misery on the Russian people, and they tried to bring it on the German people, but a bunch of guys, a good Aryan guys, got around a guy called Adolf and stopped him. Then a bunch of morons from the United States, Britain, and France decided that we're going to listen to the Jews and the Kakistocracy instead of our hearts, and we're going to go over and kill our brethren so that we can allow communism to thrive. Yeah, and I'm sad to say I had relatives in that war fighting against my German cousins, and I lost a cousin at 18 years old in the Battle of the Bulge. My grandfather was a United States Marine in an armored division. I don't know that they knew then, just like I didn't know the truth back when I was in the Air Force during Vietnam. I didn't know the truth. I had my suspicions, though, even then, that I was not being told truth. My eyes got woken up very shortly after the first so-called gas shortage of 1974, when I could see that on base, we were actually flying twice as many training missions as we were before the so-called shortage. I went to my commander and asked him. I said, Colonel, isn't it kind of strange that we're burning up all that jet fuel for the bombers and tankers while the whole country's suffering? He just shook his head. He goes, I can't explain it, Dan. Well, I don't know if he lied or if he just didn't know either. But he didn't argue with me because it was true. So that started my thinking that I think we're being lied to. The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto tells us that the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. Welcome to the American Kakistocracy, run by our Bolshevik psychopaths. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's what I'm talking about. What's the new model? Well, the proprietarians are partly right. The libertarians are partly right. The anarchists are partly right. But it's not going to work until you realize that our Creator has already solved this problem for us. Isaiah 33 at verse 22 tells us that he's our lawgiver. Okay? What part of that don't you understand? William Blackstone, the great jurist, said that God's law is the basis of common law. He is also the jurist that said any law that is counter to God's law is of no effect. So we don't have the right as men and women to change law. Okay? They don't. Angel writes in here that what are women supposed to do? I'm not sure in what category you're asking. It's supposed to do about what? In the fight? So if you could send what you're talking about, because that's a little too broad of an area. Women have a lot of things to do, okay? Men do what they do, as Michael Brown, who was my guest that night, said a long time ago. There's two kinds of people in this world. There are warriors and there are merchants, especially the men. There are two kinds of men, warriors and merchants. Merchants do everything they do for money and the things that money buys. That's basically their God. That's what motivates them. Warriors do everything they do for women. Now, before you snicker and think about all the sexual stuff, that's not what it's talking about. Warriors do everything they do for family, for children, for the future of our race, our people. That's what's foremost on their mind. Okay, that's the difference. And that's why Scripture tells us the root of all evil is the lusting or love of money. Merchants are what's wrong in this world. Most of these psychopaths in our society are merchants, either bankers or corporate executives or retailers. But it's all about making you a perpetual consumer and spending money. This is why the Founding Fathers said that you must be very careful to make sure that money is controlled by your righteous representatives that you elect and you keep control over. Because whoever controls the money is going to control the direction of society. Why do you think Rothschild, the pathologically insane Jewish banker, sent his sons out to all the Western nations to take over banking? Because he said it himself. I don't care what kind of law you set up or government or whatever. I don't care, because as long as I control credit and money, I control your country. Bingo. For one of the few times I can think of, a Jew told the truth. These psychotic people that the Bible calls Edom Esau. I saw a Jewish channel was trying to say that you and I, the Western civilization, is the Edom Esau of the Bible. I hope there's not foolish enough Jews to believe that line of bullshit. That's incredible that we are Edom Esau. We don't exemplify Edom Esau in any stretch of the imagination, whereas the Jews, especially the Bolsheviks, Zionists, they are everything that Edom Esau is described as, everything. And yet they're trying to tell Jews, other Jews, that we're the Edom Esau. Well, the Talmud is the rantings of psychotic rabbis, so maybe it does say that in there, but I got news for you. You're it, and we're not. And guess what? You can lie to your fellow Jews all you want, and you're not going to change the outcome of what's going to happen. The plan, the logos of our Father, has already been set in motion. Angel says here, what are women supposed to do to best help the men? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Just follow the examples in Scripture of like Rachel, of Sarah. Remember, Sarah's name was Sarai at first. Sarai is basically has the connotation of a rebellious woman, cantankerous or contentious. When it was changed to Sarah, it was she took on the mindset of Abraham's helpmeet. She got off her high horse and decided to support Abraham. So there was a name change because she changed her attitude. So a lot of women today have bought into this feminism, this Jewish bullshit feminist nonsense, the Hollywood versions, where women are equal to men in all manner. No, you're not. You can believe lies if you want, but no, you're not. Just like all men are not equal. I'm not equal to a prize fighter. I'd get my ass kicked. Okay? Not all men are best soldiers. And women aren't equal to men in all things. No, you're not. Do you have equal rights before our Father? Yeah, you do. Yeah, in that sense, we are equal. But as far as talent, ability, our duties in the family towards ourselves and our Father in heaven, no, they're not equal. We weren't designed to be equal there. Men have a certain job to do, and women have a job to do. Oh, okay, Angel says, I'm always saying what men must do and never address the women. That's my fault, because 20 years ago when I started the program, I said that this program is primarily focused at the men because they are the most downtrodden of our people. I'm trying to get the men to learn how to be men again. So that's why I don't do that. I don't address the women, not because I don't think they're important. It's because we got to get the men straightened out. Because if the men don't rise up, if the men don't take their weapons and defend our family and our faith, then what good is it to get the women straightened out? There'd be nothing left. The Bolsheviks win at that point, and our race disappears off this earth. So what women can do is what I just said. The common sense thing to do is make the warriors feel like warriors. You don't do that by being condescending to them. You don't do that by bitching and moaning about every little thing that bothers you, okay? Men can only take that for a while. That's why men don't spend a whole lot of time around women, historically speaking. They don't, okay? Because things that women want to talk about, a lot of times we men just don't want to talk about it. And the other reason is real men, warriors, don't want to talk, period, about much of anything. They want to do something. They don't want to stand around talking about it. If something bothers us, we want to fix it. If a woman bothers us, get rid of her. If a neighbor bothers us, go over and beat the shit out of them. If talking to them doesn't do any good, you see what I'm saying? It's fix the problem. If the car's not running right, get out there and tune it up. Not going to sit in here and talk about it. Well, ladies, you like to talk a lot. You really do. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I'm just saying we're different. That's why in the old days, you can just picture it, that the women of the household would sit around and discuss all kinds of things while they were making clothes, or they were churning butter, or they were rolling out the dough to make the bread for the evening meal. They'd probably sit and have really nice conversations. While the men are out in the field, we're not right next to each other. We don't have the ability to do that because we're either in the army and fighting, or in the woods hunting for the next meal, or we're out plowing fields. Well, we're not sitting there having a discussion while we've got a team of horses trying to plow a field. Do you see what I'm saying? we're more proactive to go get things done, not sitting around talking about it. And I'm saying this only to show that we have differences. And if we ignore the differences, then it's going to be hell on earth for all of us. We got to put all that stuff aside. We have a war. We're in a war, okay? And it's heating up rapidly. Just like that young man from the Northeast there, repentant Yankee, was talking about. Virginia is the focal point, but this is happening in all the states. And the young men and the militia, I think, are beginning to realize that the reason for the Second Amendment is becoming very, very clear. The true reason, not what these psychopaths try to tell us through the mainstream media. They're profligate liars. All of them are. No truth in them. And it's about time that our men, meaning our white men, stop kissing the ass on people who are not equal to us. That's not a hateful thing. That's not even a white supremacist thing. That's just a simple fact. Any demographic, any chart you want to look at, IQ, accomplishment, whatever, why are we taking orders from or kissing the ass on people who are not better than us? Okay? That's not God's way. That's why he put Adam here, Adam, to show blood in the face, the white man. He was put here to do what? Keep the garden, which means what? Law and order. What race, all through history, and archaeologist after archaeologist is proving this right now. The only race that's ever done that is our race. Civilization is here because of our people. Read the book, Human Accomplishment, by Charles Murray. Big, thick book. Human Accomplishment. Okay? But ladies, think of this, okay? Your husband is the chief executive officer of your economic unit called a family. He's the chief executive officer, captain of the ship, patriarch, whatever term you want to use. Okay? His job is to make sure that everybody that he's responsible for is healthy, protected, happy, productive, okay, is safe. That's his job. Every single person within his family, whether he has one wife or 100 wives, doesn't make any difference. Whether he has one child or 100 children, doesn't make any difference. That's his job. Now, the women and children under his authority, doulos is the Greek word for that. The doulos, their job is to what? Obey their commander. Because remember, what's the chain of command? Yahweh speaks and deals with Adam. Adam, in turn, represents Yahweh to his wives and children. It's as simple as that. So their job is to show the respect to Adam as Adam is to show his respect and honor to the Father. You see how it works? It's really very simple. The beautiful part is that when you put this into practice, the blessings that come are amazing. I'm hoping to get Mike to come onto the program, probably not tonight because he's busy, but Mike and I are going to present you with some stuff that's going to blow your mind, folks, when it comes to putting into practice Yahweh's laws and what the benefits are. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Mike right now is being blessed like there's no tomorrow. So even while the world seems to be going to hell, Yahweh is reaching out to bless those that love the Father. Okay? He really is. And when Michael and I talk about what he's going through physically and mentally right now because of the changes of his lifestyle and diet, it's literally going to blow your mind. It really is. In a good way, it's going to blow your mind. I'm so happy for him. As he told me tonight, he is in better shape today than he was in his 20s, and he's in his mid-50s. Okay? And he sent me visual proof of that. And I was doing the same thing when I was in my 40s and I was training out in Iowa. I got in the best shape of my life by simply making dietary changes and exercise changes. I transformed my body. It was amazing. Within just a month and a half. Couldn't believe it. So these things are true. And while I'm talking about future guests with Michael, this coming Sunday I have a very special guest coming on, a surprise guest, first-time guest. And we are going to be talking about some things I think are going to be quite interesting. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it as well. A little something different. It's going to be educational. We try to make every program educational. But with this guest on, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. And we'll also go into the areas of current events because too much is happening right now not to do that. But we're also going to have a little fun with it. So if you can tune in this Sunday morning, I hope you can. It should be quite entertaining and informative as well. Thomas Watson Sr. told us that nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. Hallelujah. What is that alluding to? What did I just tell you? Yahweh told us to what? Judge a man by his fruits. I had a discussion with Michael before airtime, and Patrick in Texas also sent me an email along this same subject about people that call themselves Jews, but are they really Jews? Okay, because I know personally people in my life that refer to themselves as Jews, but they're not. Now, here's the danger of that, because some people are going around and we're identifying Jews as a major problem, which they are, especially the Bolshevik pathological liars and misfits. Okay, that's true. They are Jews, but not all Jews fall into that category. And here's the warning that I'm going to give people. When we are talking about what's coming down the pike and when Yahweh brings about Obadiah verse 18, we're going to fall back on what Christ taught. And Christ did not say to King David in Psalm 149 to indiscriminately go out and punish by race. That's not in there. What's in there is to punish those who do wicked deeds, evil deeds. And again, it goes back to what? Judge by their fruit. Because you don't know what's on the inside. Only Yahweh knows what's on the inside. The only tool we have to determine where Psalm 149 applies is their fruits. So people like Adam Schiff, I think it's pretty safe to say his fruit condemns him, doesn't it? Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, there's a whole list of them. The Obamas, the Bushes, even right now, the current president is doing things that would condemn him under Psalm 149. He is aiding and abetting the enemies of this nation. That's called treason. So neither party, Republican or Democrat, is any good. I hope you understand that. George Washington told us that in his farewell address. A two-party system is evil. Never fall into the trap of a two-party system because it's two wings on the same bird. All right? Aiding and abetting enemies of our country, whether it's Republican or Democrat, is still treason. We are not going to come out of the quagmire that we find ourselves in by allowing misfits to lead us. Besides that, I want somebody to tell me that they honestly think that Yahweh picked Trump to be our president. Oh, I know Hillary is a bitch and a traitor and a communist. Don't get me wrong. But why are we picking either one of them? That's the whole point. Yahweh wants us to come out of this. This is all Babylonian, by the way. What does Scripture say? Come out of her, my people. You don't need to partake of her plagues. I gave you the ability to lead yourselves. You can feed yourselves. You can create a whole new money system. You don't need this money system. Everybody frets about the stock market and gold and silver and oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what the bankers, the merchants. But what does Revelation tell us about the merchants? When Babylon burns, the merchants and the people in government are weeping and wailing. Not you and me. Folks, we can create a brand new system. All we need is us and proper leadership. Radamanthine leaders, righteous leaders, real men of Yahweh. That's all. There's your success formula. Because a real righteous leader is going to do what? He's going to lead everybody in the paths of God's law. And God's law brings what? Peace, prosperity, zero crime. Why? Because criminals will be dealt with swiftly. There will be no prisons. Criminals will either pay restitution to the victim, not some bullshit entity called the state. They will pay restitution to the victim, and if it's a capital crime, they will hang. That's it. And it'll happen right away. See how beautiful that is? The whole prison system goes away. The whole prison industry system, much like the abortion industry system, goes away. Monsanto goes away. Bayer goes away. All corporations go away. All corporate law goes away. This court system goes away. These government misfits in this cacistocracy go away. You don't need them. The bankers go away. We don't need them. All right? Public school system goes away. Mainstream medicine goes away. All it takes is a monarch and the warriors. That's all. A monarch and his warriors. And his privy council of elders to keep an eye on him and to assist him. That's all. That's all you need. You can't get much simpler than that. And that's the beauty of Yahweh's plan for us, is that it is not complicated. Man makes it complicated. Okay? It's not complicated. It really isn't. We have law, which brings what? Order. We have the formula, which is a righteous leader and sub-leaders that are elected, and we implement his law, period. That's it. We scrap all of this nonsense that's been put upon us. This whole legal system is nothing more than the same thing as Babylon did. Everything was legal. It was immoral. But it was legal because misfits, reprobates, psychopaths put it on paper. Well, that's what evil people do. Play with words and try to get it on paper. We don't need that. We already have all the law we need. We just got to get it right. We just have to get off our asses and do what he said to do. Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love Yahweh God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say anything about your purpose or my purpose, his purpose. Here's one I went, actually both of these things are for our young men. All of us, really, but the young men especially. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. By the way, the book of Acts was not written by Paul. It's not part of Paul's writings. It will be in the last days, says Yahweh God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm going to tell you something. I'm an old man now. Can't hardly believe it, but I'm an old man now. And I've always dreamt, almost all my whole life, but I have never dreamt like I'm dreaming now. It's just incredible. Vivid dreams almost, well, actually every single night. Another saying that this one is very appropriate for every one of us. Once you become fearless, as our Father commands, life becomes limitless. You and I limit solving this problem by our fears. By our fears. I was looking for another one here. Maybe I'll find it later on. But I'm telling you that all the indications are there that everything we've been talking about for a very long time is right at the door. And you need to get very, very serious about getting back to basics in your household, in your life, in your thinking, in your actually being a minimalist, as they call it, would not be a bad thing to do. As one guy pointed out very recently, the one thing you'll notice is when the hearse is driving down the street with the deceased inside, there is not a U-Haul trailer attached to it. Okay? You're not taking any of this material stuff with you. So, remember that. We're always talking about Malachi chapter 4, and I've got the last few verses of that here as a reminder. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. Okay, that's his law, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel. That's you and me, folks. The people. This is not a country. This is people. Even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, here's the interesting thing. I want to call up Esword. Now, my particular Esword is loaded up with my favorite versions, translations. So, most of the English translations, including the one I just read, screw up verse 6. So, I scoured through my electronic versions trying to find one that gets it right, and I found Brenton. Now, Brenton wrote a Bible, of Old Testament Bible, based on the Septuagint. And he gets it right. The Apostolic Bible Polyglot, which is a newer translation that has the Greek with English translations embedded in it, and the Strong's numbers are on every page of the Bible. So it makes doing studies like this much, much easier. So the Apostolic Bible Polyglot and the Brenton's Old Testament based on a Septuagint, they both get it right. Here's what verse 6 actually says. Who shall turn again the heart of the father to the son and the heart of a man to his neighbor, lest I come and smite the earth grievously. Where in the hell did they come up turn the hearts of the children to their father? That's not even close. Okay? The heart of a man to his neighbor. Now, you might say, well, why is that special? Because children don't fight wars. Children are not going to go out and bring about Obadiah 18 or Psalm 149. The men are going to do that. So the heart of the father to his son is another way of saying also, take us elders to teach our sons the ways of war and weapons of war, and make sure that we have enough caring and love for our sons that we'll tell them the truth, instead of this modern bullcrap that the church and mainstream media and these psychopaths are feeding us. So the heart of the Father to the Son and the heart of a man. Now, in the Greek language, that's the word anthropos, where we get the word anthropology. Anthropos is the Greek word for an Adamic man. It's a compound word. Anthros is the man. Pos is to show rosy in the face. In other words, have the what? Same thing that the Hebrew has, Adam, to show blood in the face. So the Greek word was a word that said an upright male that has the face of a man. And in ancient times, and in our people's history, that meant an Adamic man, the only face of a man that blushes. So it's actually saying here that an Aryan man turned his heart to his neighbor or his kinsman. Now it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? But you see, they don't want us to know this because they're trying to tell us race doesn't matter, which is total and utter bullshit. Okay, so here Malachi, when it's interpreted properly, is telling us that what we're seeing beginning to happen is what's supposed to happen. The white man is starting to come back to his senses and rebel against these feminists and these cucks and these soy boys and girls. And he's starting to learn how to be a man again and put his stones back in his sack. And he's going to reach out to his children, his sons in particular, and teach them how to be men again. Because they're not teaching it now. And he's also going to teach us men to have a concern for our fellow Adamic man, which we have not had for a very long time. Under the delusion of these psychopaths that, according to the book of Revelation, are going to soon be cast into the fiery pit. And I say hallelujah for that. One other thing here, I'll bring you on here, Tommy, in just a second. Instead of celebrating Christmas, how about we do what one of the ladies that listens recommended to me here? Why don't we celebrate a pre-debt jubilee? A restoration on this earth is about to take place. A debt jubilee, as commanded by Scripture, will be coming in the near future. Why don't we, instead of participating in this Roman Catholic charade called Christmas, which is pagan, the whole thing is pagan, why don't we instead have a feast, invite our brothers and sisters or our family, if you want to exchange gifts, but do it in the name of Yahweh, and as a sort of a preliminary celebration for the soon-to-be debt jubilee. I like that. I like that a lot. All right, let me see if I can bring Tommy on here. Can you hear me, Tommy? Did it work? Oh, it didn't work. Hold on a minute. Okay, now I hear you. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Yeah, I just able to get on about 15 minutes ago, so I'll have to listen to the replay later to hear what you said. But here's some news about what's going on in Virginia. Well,
okay.
Another patriot, James Yeager, which I went to his school, a tactical response.
Yeah.
He is offering to train the Tazewell County Militia for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, and Tazewell is in Virginia, I take it.
Tazewell County. They're the ones that voted to start a militia out there.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, James Yeager, he lives in West Tennessee. I've been to the school two times. Hardcore patriot. The guy used to be a cop years ago. He's what else? He was a private contractor during the Iraqi elections in 2004. This guy's seen it all, and he's on his website Liberty TV. He said that he was him and his crew. They're going to be donating. They're going to be donating their services to that militia, so they want to train them. This man has, he's trained over like 60, 70,000 people over 20 years. So yeah, he's got a pretty big following. So for him to do that, that's pretty serious. So Yahweh is moving things, believe me.
Well, it sounds like it. You weren't on when I was talking about another young veteran. He's got a channel called The Repentant Yankee. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah. I just joined that guy's channel the other day, literally.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, he put out a good one today. If you haven't heard it, you should go listen to it. It was right to the point and very spot on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's things are moving pretty like pretty quickly, and I think we know the Bolsheviks, and which are on the right and the left in the political spectrum. They're not going to back down. They think they're going to that people are going to capitulate. Virginia is showing that all it's going to take is that one little spark. That's all it's going to take, in my opinion, at this point.
Yeah, and the Repentant Yankee said exactly the same thing today in his video.
Yep.
He is on full alert. I guess there's a big Second Amendment rally scheduled for early January next year. And his gut feeling is that the cabal might try to use that in some way to trigger something. And like he said, and what you just said, is if whether it's done intentionally or not, just like at Bunker Hill and in Lexington, we don't know who actually fired that first shot or why.
Mm-hmm.
Much the same way, this could go the same way as that. We don't. It could be anybody. It could be somebody legitimate. It could be a fake thing. It could be a stage thing. You know, it could be done because of good reasons or evil intention. We don't know. But if either side makes a dramatic move in early January, this thing will go hot. That's basically what he's saying.
Oh yeah, pretty much. I think the it's most of the time the CIA and the FBI, they're usually behind these false flags, and actually many police agencies in generally blue areas usually try to push these things. I think they're going to try not to push it because I think they're starting to realize the amount of numbers of angry Americans, it vastly outnumbers them. It would be really stupid for them if they didn't try to stop this something. If they were smart, they really should backtrack a lot of things just to avert something because they will lose it. They've done the testing on it all the time. All the data proves every single time the Patriots win. Every single time. So Northam says he's going to, he was alluding to, he wants to cut the power and communications to all those counties. Well, that's an act of war.
Right.
So at that point, you have all those preppers, especially out in Virginia, where there's a lot of preppers out there. I've been a prepper since, 2013. I can guarantee a lot of them, that really won't affect them because they have solar, they have all these things, and they've probably prepared in their minds that this could possibly happen someday, and they're really close to something. So I'm just hoping we could have a split and minimize any kind of bloodshed. I just want a split. I want to go under proprietarianism at this point because this entire system we're under right now, it's so corrupted, like we can't even fix it at this point. Otherwise, we'd have to have a constitutional convention at this point, and we certainly don't have representatives that are on our side. If there were, there'd probably only be maybe like 10 to 20 of them out of 500. So
mm-hmm.
it would just be a moot point at this point. Like I just heard you say earlier how, you know, people think Trump was put in by God, and I thought that at first, too. I used to listen to Mark Taylor. And I'm like, okay, but I think this man has been very misled.
he's a gatekeeper, Tommy.
Yeah.
I listened to him too for a while, and then one day he slipped up and he showed his true cards. He's a gatekeeper for Israel.
Yeah, because the Israel thing is what bothered me after a while.
Right. If he can't figure out who the real Jews are and that these Israelis are our enemies and not our friends, then how could he be actually being talked to by the Father? You know, and he made that prediction. Well, if he's a plant, of course he knew. You know, the people that knew Trump was going to get in there as the final straw, the final Trojan horse to take us to where we are today, well, of course he knew. That's no brilliant revelation from the Father. I wrote the book and I knew he was picked. You knew he was picked by the elite because Hillary would have started World War II, or III, I should say. If Hillary had been picked, if they had gotten through with the voting rigged elections and Hillary had made it, the Civil War would have already started. They know that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All the patriots know that. All the people, even at the American Legion and everywhere else, Hillary got in there, they were ready to go and get their weapons and go on the march. So putting Trump in there was just a delay tactic.
That's all it was. Yeah.
Right.
Because they probably calculated that there was probably thousands all over the place that all they have to do is just cause a little bit of trouble at their state capitals or even in their counties, and I mean they could literally disrupt the economy just that alone. Hillary just wasn't likeable as it is.
Right.
So what I think they did is just get smart and say, well, let's put a guy that's really good with people in general.
Right.
Like here's a guy who's made billions on TV and all these kinds of things. He knows how to work a crowd. We'll tell this guy to say everything that they want to hear. He may even believe it himself. And then as soon as he got in, he saw the little paper saying, if you do not do this, Melania is going to disappear or something like that. And he's probably like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? I mean, I'm hoping the guy had good intentions, but unfortunately, good intentions at this point mean nothing because his actions have just been like completely 180. I just saw a survey on Facebook that the Military Times has a poll on him, and he's becoming more unpopular now.
Well, so, because people are starting to figure him out.
Yeah, they're starting to figure out that. I mean, he's obviously a deep state plant, and there's people going, "Oh no, he's for us." And I'm like, "That's what I thought first too," but his actions are speaking louder. Hillary's not in jail yet. Comey's not in jail yet.
Well,
I mean, this whole thing, I guess they just impeached him in the House, and I'm like, all right, big deal in the House. They have to pass it to the Senate. They're probably not going to do it in the Senate. You know, it's all a game. I agree 100% with you. I honestly think that they put him in there just to avert a civil war for now.
All of this stuff against Trump is the oligarchy putting on a show to make the patriotic Americans think that Trump is their savior and a good guy, and look at this storm that we're putting on him, and he's still hanging in there. That's all a show.
Oh, yeah.
That's all a show.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
They're laughing behind our backs. They're laughing at us because they're all part of the same team. They're just playing a part. It's all kabuki theater. It really is. So, and here's why they do that, because obviously everybody hated Hillary. I mean, she's a despicable person. Everybody that's ever been around her says that. Okay, she's got no redeeming qualities at all. Even Jews called her a profligate liar and fired her. The first guy that she worked right out of law school, the first guy she worked for in the government was a Jew lawyer, and he fired her because she was so unethical. Can you imagine that? A Jew firing somebody for being unethical? You got to be pretty damn unethical for a Jew to fire you for it. Okay? So
she got
fired for that, and she was later disbarred, just like Bill was. Okay? So she is a complete zero.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the issue. She was put there over Bernie and everybody else because of they knew we weren't going to allow that to happen. So here comes Trump. And they're going through all this antics to make it make us think that the Bolsheviks don't like him when he's actually part of them. Okay? It's just all theater, okay? The Mark Taylor stuff, it's all theater. All the even, I'm sorry to say it, but Steve, that Marine up there, the retired Marine is his channel.
Oh, yeah, I stopped listening to him. All that guy was doing was pushing his network marketing stuff. And then, greetings, my dear friends. And it's just like, dude, get to the point. Like, your video says this, get to the point, please. Like,
yeah. We're busy
people. I can't stand that. Yeah. It's like people will listen to a video, like, literally within a minute or two. And if they don't get to the point, you know, they switch away.
Right.
Like, I stopped listening to all these Cube people because I figured out, you know, about a year ago. And I'm like, man, we've been played.
Right. We've been played, exactly. And if we had kept our thinking caps on and didn't get emotional about it, we would have seen through it a lot quicker. But we always hope there's a solution outside of a violent revolution. Everybody wants that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah,
every good soldier, and I'm one of them, prepares for war, but we pray for peace. Okay? No soldier wants war. No soldier. Okay? However, if you put it in our face, if you force us into a corner, then that's where this will go. They know that. They knew that. And so Trump was a delay tactic. That's becoming quite obvious. Complete delay tactic.
I think what Virginia's doing is it's destroying the cabal's entire plan because Democrats are extremely, what's the word for it? Impulsive. They need it now. They need it yesterday. So I think for them accelerating their stuff it and Trump not doing anything against it, it's just showing his true colors.
Right.
If he comes out and says, oh, well, you know, we don't agree that, you know, if these laws pass and then, you know, they should have to follow them. He starts going along with those kinds of things. Oh, man, he's going to be done from the entire right wing at that point.
Well, what he just did to allow the Jews and to use executive order to do what he couldn't, the Jews couldn't get any other way, to basically make it a criminal offense to criticize Israel or the Jews, that is treason, okay? This is free speech is our right. Okay, and we have a right to criticize anybody, including government and certainly foreign governments. Okay, the fact that he did once again bend over and kiss the ass on the Israelis just shows you that he is not for us. Okay, it doesn't matter He's not for us.
Not at all.
No,
the only good thing he's done was signing to repeal the Obamacare mandate. That's one of the only good, really good things he's done.
That's small.
But that's what I mean. It's like what has he majorly accomplished other than, we have low unemployment. Well, they said the same thing under Obama. They said the same thing under Bush.
Right.
The interesting part is that the media really hated him. They would call his bluff and say, no, Mr. President, the unemployment is actually higher because a lot of people are working 2-3 jobs out there.
Right.
There was a temporary boost in the economy, but all over the place, there's a recession in trucking, manufacturing, all these things that he promised to bring back.
Right.
And unfortunately, the Chinese are not, they're not budging. They ain't stupid. That's one thing about the Chinese. They are not stupid. That's one thing I will give them respect on, is they are not fools.
The other countries of the world are amazed at just how gullible we Americans are. They can't hardly believe it. And the other thing is, let's face it, even Trump himself was bragging about unemployment being better for everybody but white America.
Okay? Yeah, that's
I got plenty of my own family and friends in the white race who are not doing well economically at all. So if Trump thinks he's winning points with me and my family because the Hispanics that have invaded us, the blacks that don't give a shit about our country and everything else, doing them a favor by giving them jobs is making me happy, no. Especially when I go down to the retail stores here And I can see some of these people that he's talking about. They got jobs, and they're standing around, two, three, four of them, bullshitting in the aisles instead of doing their jobs. Or I go up and ask them to help me out, and they look like I asked for their eye teeth, you know, or they don't know a damn thing about what I'm talking about. Or I go up to the Hispanic in the aisle and, oh, no habla inglés, no habla inglés.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you got a job in my country, you displaced one of my people, and you can't speak English? How the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I see it down here.
I see it everywhere. Yeah, I mean, I'm here in Lakeland. I mean, it's a pretty red county over here, minus the sheriff, who's a complete cuck over here, who likes red flag laws, which is just like, dude, you're a pro-gun and you like red flag laws. Like, you're just,
which,
wow.
Which county
but
is
this
that?
Guy, Polk.
Oh, okay.
This guy actually came on TV and criticized Jared Kushner. It's funny. He criticized the Jew in the White House, who really controls things, apparently. You know, Trump is just obviously his, you know, the puppet. I was full on board. You know, just like I said on Sunday, I was full on board with Trump pretty much from day one. And then, but I heard some things he was saying during some of his rallies, like he agreed with censoring certain speech, and then it was very unpopular. You even heard some boos in the crowds. You know, this is before his rallies got really big. And I was just like, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden, he's calling for the whole world to decriminalize homosexuality and stuff like that. So I also something else from some other news site. And I'm like, what? He calls himself a Christian? I have never heard the man ever say Jesus. Never. I've never heard him say, you know, Jesus is now in the White House. Never heard him say that. He says, oh, God. But how vague is that?
Yeah.
Is just that, because Jews will say, well, we believe in God. The Muslims will say they believe in God. Well, which God are they talking about?
Right.
and it's just like, he never mentions Jesus. Why is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, now we know, don't we?
Yeah. And it's just like, you know what? The blessing out of this thing in Virginia is that, you know, the Lord Yahweh, he's giving us an out. And the best part is that, the Lord knows that we're not going to vote this thing out. He knows that. So, you know, let's just hope the things get intense for a little while. The proprietarians, they put the demands and say, look, we want to split. This is the demands. If you don't let us split peacefully, this is what's going to happen. And I think that's very viable. The thing is, it's going to have to get a little ugly. The economy, in my opinion, is going to have to collapse to some degree. And that has to break the golden calf people have. We have to have the economy going. I need to pay my mortgage. Like your dollar is worth nothing. It's worth nothing. I mean, it's just being propped up by a bunch of computer numbers that Jews are controlling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the reality is that people are, a lot of people think that, well, if the economy goes down, it's just, well, why haven't you been preparing? Why haven't you been buying some rice at the store, which is really cheap right now? Why you could still get it, because there is a food shortage coming. They've been saying this as well.
Yeah, so, you can still get oatmeal is a great thing, and honey, because they don't go bad, folks. Oatmeal and honey, you can live off of it. It'll keep you alive. And rice, and what they used to teach us was that you can go get cheap 55-gallon barrels, either plastic or metal. They're fairly cheap used. You can fill them full of bags of rice, beans, oatmeal, containers of honey. And all you got to do is put a couple tablespoons of naphthalene, okay? Naphthalene is down at the hardware store. It's cheap. It's paint thinner. But it's naphthalene. And why do you want to put naphthalene in there? Because it will kill any bugs that get into that barrel. If there's any bugs in it or get into it, you put it a couple tablespoons of naphthalene, put a seal on there, put a lid on it, and close it, and that stuff will be in there, and it'll be good for a very long time. that much naphthalene will not affect the food, but it will kill any kind of maggots or bugs or rice bugs or anything like that. Very, very easy thing to do. I used to have like 5 or 6 barrels full of stuff in my basement. Again, you just catch it on sale or just go out and put it on credit at this point. The banking system's going to go down anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Get out there and get the damn food and get it into a barrel that mice can't eat through, that water can't get through, and put a little naphthalene in there, seal it up, and at least you know in your heart of hearts that you can keep your family alive for months. Because you have to remember, folks, during an emergency, you're not going to eat like you're at the Ritz-Carlton. You're going to eat small portions just to keep the body healthy and alive, because you're not going to be doing a lot of physical work. You're not going to be going to a job because everything's going to shut down. So you only need so many calories a day to just weather through the storm, while the unprepared and the wicked are going to be out there dying by the droves. Just like Psalm 91 says, you're going to see thousands at one side and 10,000 at another, but it's not going to affect you and your family because you made preparations.
Yep. Yeah. What I suggest too, when you're putting stuff in barrels, use Mylar bags. Because those will, as long as you seal them correctly, you just take an iron or a flat iron, just to seal them. You put some O2 absorbers in there. I've had rice stored up in there for years, and it's been perfectly fine. I put them in 5-gallon buckets, seal them. I put in a bunch of different things. So you can find those on Amazon. They're called Mylar bags, M-Y-L-A-R.
Mylar.
5-gallon. Yep, Mylar. Make sure you get the 1-gallon ones, the 5-gallon ones. You know, stock up on those. Especially what people on the, that follow this program get, because that's just it's just an added layer of security for your for your long term storage.
Amen. And the other thing too, a lot of people don't think about it, but once all the wicked are dead and gone, we're going to have to start over again, and they've been corrupting the seeds for a long time with hybrid seeds and GMO seeds.
Yep.
There are still patriotic companies that will sell you enough heirloom. You want heirloom seeds. These are real God-given seeds. You can get these in a PVC pipe, enough seeds for a family for a year. And they put it in PVC pipe, so it's perfectly sealed. Nothing can get to it. So in case of an emergency, they can be unsealed, and you will have enough seeds to grow a garden and start over again. The Russians, by the way, have been putting away heirloom seeds now for over a decade in a side of a mountain. I think they know something we don't know, right?
Yeah.
They know that Monsanto and all these companies have been dicking with our seeds for a long time, and they have contaminated the seed base, while the Russians are squirreling away heirloom seeds like there's no tomorrow. Because you can have all the money and gold and silver in the world, but if you can't feed yourself, what good is it?
Oh, exactly. That's
right?
That's where the elite are completely foolish to think that they're going to survive where everybody else is going to perish. No, they're going down just the same. And I think the amount of hatred towards them out there, it's just going to overwhelm them. So
see, Trump promised us full disclosure on the criminality of these people. He has not come through with that either. 9/11
zero.
Is zero truth on 9/11, zero truth on Oklahoma, zero truth on the Branch Davidians, zero truth on Randy Weaver, zero truth on Las Vegas, okay? Because if we did have the truth, we would know the Israeli connection, and he's protecting the Israelis. So there has been no full disclosure. So
no,
that's
and
another,
there won't be disclosure either. No,
right.
And there won't be at this point, because people think, he's got to win a second term. Well, he wins a second term, which he probably will if there are elections, because the Jews picked him. That's why he's bending over backwards for them. They're the ones who pretty much dictate who's president.
Right.
And it's only because of the banking system. Once the banking system goes under, and it will go under because there are many economists on both sides of the aisle saying this economy is going to tank and it's going to be the worst in American history.
Well, the Bible says so too.
Absolutely, and the Bible's never wrong.
No, no.
We don't know the time frame, but the Bible generally is 100% correct.
Right. The one thing we do know that is it will be universal. It will cause government people and merchants, bankers, etc., to weep and wail, and it will happen rapidly. And it will cause Babylon to burn, which means self-destruct. And you can see that coming, can't you, Tommy?
Oh, absolutely.
I can see it every day. Yeah,
I'll share something. Last night, my wife and I, we were attacked by some kind of entity. I just had a bad. It looked like a bad dream, but we were also being attacked. I think that was also a sign from the Lord saying a lot of bad things are coming. Prepare.
Wow.
We were both like startled. She had to rebuke that. And I remember waking up and rebuking that. But I remember seeing a lot of black lines coming out of the walls or something. It was vague, but it creeped me out. But I woke up and I rebuked it. And my wife, she has a lot of gifts, and she rebuked it like crazy. So we both experienced something that we're like, I told her this morning, I'm like, that's a sign. Regardless, it says bad things are coming, not just to mess with us, but because we're on the side of the Lord, we're to warn people out there, look, get ready. Things are going to get bad really fast. And I think a lot sooner than most people believe at this point.
Well, that's why before you came onto the call, I was telling folks, for 20 years we've been reminding them, but now it is more critical than it's ever been that you have got to have a very minimal amount as 3 months. You've got to have enough stuff to stay hunkered down in your house or your home or your trailer, your camper, whatever, wherever you're going to hunker down. You've got to have at least three months. Six is much, much better. And most of the military men I know said, if you can do that for 6 months, because they've actually been in areas of the world where revolutions and calamity has come, they've actually seen this. And they're the ones that told me that 6 months of hunkering down, they can almost guarantee your survival. Because most of the people that get hurt are the ones out on the streets, fending for food and things like that. They're going to be the victims of the roving gangs and even the military if they're there. Stuff like that. If you stay hunkered down, you're going to have a much, much better chance of survival. One of our guests just sent you a message, and he said, "Tell Tommy to anoint his home with oil." Olive oil, okay, to keep evil away. Anoint your house in the name of Yahweh. Anoint your doorposts. I used to do that. In fact, I usually do it once a year. I go to all the windows and doors, all the entrance points to my house, and anoint it with olive oil in the name of Yahweh. It's the same. It's symbolically the same as what our ancestors, the ancient Hebrews, did on the day of Passover. Okay, when the evil death angel was coming, they put the lamb's blood on the lintels and doorposts of their house. Okay, that's covering your loved ones with the blood of Messiah. That was symbolically what was happening. So today, we symbolically cover our lintels and doorposts with olive oil representing the blood of the lamb, the blood of our Messiah. And we ask for Yahweh's protection on our homes and our loved ones. Every person should do that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you reminded me of that.
I'll definitely do that right now. I'll definitely do that right now.
Yeah, it only takes a second. I just take a little, like a 2 ounce bottle of pure olive oil, not the GMO bullshit. And I just just put a drop on your fingers, and it doesn't have to be fancy, folks. It's the heart that matters. Father is looking at the heart. Just take a little on your thumb and just rub it on your doorposts and overhead on the lintel. It's just the same thing that our ancestors did on Passover. It's because we want the evil that's about ready to be unleashed on this earth. You got to remember, folks, this stuff that's getting ready to happen is not the Antichrist. This is the judgment that he's calling upon the wicked.
Yep.
He said, I will consume it with fire. Fire is judgment. And that judgment comes from the Father. He's telling you ahead of time, I'm going to burn these sons of bitches up, and I don't want my children to suffer along with them. So make your hearts pure, and it's not going to hurt anything to symbolically ask a blessing over your doors. It doesn't mean that he won't save you if you don't do it, but it sure as hell isn't going to hurt anything to go ahead and do it. Just like baptism is a voluntary sign to show an inward conversion. The conversion the Father wants to see is inside. It's not the act of baptism. Baptism is a symbolic gesture to tell others of what happened to you on the inside. Okay? So baptism is for our benefit, not the Father's. The Father already knows what happened to you on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
No, I appreciate the tip. I'll definitely do that as soon as I get back in the house.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, until I think it was Lane that sent it in there, but until they had mentioned it, it slipped my mind. I've done it less than a year ago, but it probably wouldn't hurt me knowing where we're headed right now and what's coming. I think it'd be a good idea for all of us to go out and give a fresh coating.
Yeah, I think periodically it's definitely good to do, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Well, listen, sir, I'm going to have to get going. Thank you to the individual that gave that tip as well.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking the call. Should be able to talk on Sunday, but even if I can't, I will definitely listen to the replay. And thank you for everything, sir. I appreciate it. I sent you an email today. I don't know. Hopefully you got it. You got it back.
Okay. Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Absolutely, sir. God. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
To all fellow patriots and brothers and sisters.
Yep.
And we'll definitely be in touch.
Very good. Take care.
Thank you.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're close to the two-hour mark, so I think it's time to wrap it up. I'm getting a little bit tired myself. So, and bless our listeners. Again, we do all this as a team, so that was really nice that the reminder was sent in there for Tommy and for me and for all the listeners, little things that we can do for each other. Anointing our doorposts may sound silly, but folks, it's the simple things that work best. The Father loves us for the simple things that we do to show our love and concern for each other and for Him. He's not looking for fancy cathedrals and rich robes and big gold rings on the finger like the priests and the Pope do and all these quacks and charlatans in Christianity today. He's looking for the meek, the humble at heart that do the simple things that he simply asks, you know, love one another and to pray to him, to worship him, and to have him matter in your life. So many people, they go throughout their daily lives, it's like God doesn't even exist. He really doesn't. How many people do you know that even mention him in conversation ever? Ever? I'm astounded. I'm astounded by, even in my own family, how many Christmases and Easters and stuff they celebrate, and the mentioning of the Father and His Word and His gifts to us is almost never talked about. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the callers. We thank you for the listeners and those that listen to the downloads later on. We know this word is reaching many, many people. We get evidence of it every day. We just ask that you would bless all of those young men that are standing up right now, and there may be a few ladies amongst them as well, but this is a man's job, and the men really need to step up. And for those that have the courage to do that, Father, we're going to ask a special blessing upon them, a blessing that they have your discernment and the Holy Spirit to administer to them, but also that you would look after them and provide the soldier's ransom. We talk about this often. $3, men, and that's something else at this critical time our people need to remember. The soldier's ransom is simply $3. Half a shekel of silver is about $3. Just take $3 and use it for Yahweh in whatever way you see fit. Give it to somebody that's in need, buy a Bible or put it towards a ministry. Whatever your heart is led to do, a mere $3. That's the soldier's ransom. And for those men that are going to do that, I'm going to ask, Father, that you would bless them. Bless them with courage. Bless them with clear vision. Bless them with good discernment. Bless them with fearlessness. Bless them with passion for righteousness and justice. And make their aim true, Father, when the time comes. And in the meantime, protect them from our enemies. And I would ask that blessing for all of us, for we have many enemies amongst us. So again, we give you the glory. We ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and for the things that we mess up. Father, we're trying. We're trying our best. And we do a pitiful job. We know that. But we're going to give it our best shot here. We're going to put our faith in you because you're the only thing that's worth putting our faith into, to be quite honest. And we're just going to keep our eyes open and our ears to the ground. And we're going to watch for the signs. And we're going to continually pray for each other and for, again, these brave men and the sheriffs that are standing up to do their duty. Bless their hearts mightily. And may many, many young men, and even us old guys, may we take a stand with those who are willing to do righteousness and not evil. We got plenty of evildoers. How about some guys want to do some righteous things for a change? And again, we'll ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.